Welcome to another edition of the Wahoo Central podcast. The past week in Charlottesville has been anything but normal, and we'll talk about that a little bit today, as well as University of Virginia athletics. I'm Jeff White from virginiasports.com. My guest today is graduate student Daniel Hamm, who's also a running back and return specialist on the UVA football team. Daniel, we did this once over there at the McHugh Center. Welcome to our University Hall studio.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
You walked the lawn in May when you graduated from the university. Last night, you were back there under different circumstances. What was it like to be part of the candlelit vigil with thousands of students and local residents?
It was powerful, and it really shows what Charlottesville is all about, because just as happy as I was and as proud as I was to walk the lawn on graduation day, I was just as proud to walk it last night with the community of Charlottesville, with the candles, and with a different purpose, but the same place.
Charlottesville has basically been your full-time home for 4+ years now. Particularly as an African-American, what was your reaction to the events of last weekend on grounds and downtown?
It's shocking, eye-opening a little bit. You know, you see a lot of things happening across the nation in different cities that are similar to that event. But, you know, it doesn't really hit home. But having it this close, just a couple miles down the road, it's different. And it really makes you think about some things. But I also felt like, I'm like, this isn't the Charlottesville that I know. These are outsiders coming in, just trying to stir up some trouble. And I know that attitude, that behavior isn't welcome here, and hate isn't welcome here in Charlottesville.
Coach Mendenhall talked the other day about the events on Saturday and how the news got broke to the team at the end of the scrimmage at Scott Stadium. What about Friday night? I know you had, there are team functions during training camp. You know, you're with your teammates and your coaches most of the day. Did you get back Friday night and follow the scene from the lawn on social media or on TV, or were you aware that was going on?
I personally was not aware of what went on Friday night until Saturday. I know some of my teammates were aware of what was going on through social media or however they may have found out, maybe someone telling them. But I wasn't aware of what was going on, and so it was. I knew the event was going to happen on Saturday. I knew people were coming. They were going to have a rally, but I didn't know what exactly was going on. I definitely didn't know that it was going to get out of hand like that.
What was Saturday like once the scrimmage was over? Saturday afternoon, were you watching on TV at that point, following on your phone, or?
It was a little bit of everything going on. So as soon as we got out of the scrimmage, we were informed that we were in a local state of emergency, and that they were going to keep us all together at McHugh for the remainder of the day until we were out of that state of emergency. So we were all in the locker room. We had it on the TV. People were pulling up videos and everything on their phones. And a lot of people were staying pretty calm because we knew we were going to be kept safe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was still like we were out here like, this is our city. Like, I know a lot of people were like, upset, mad, you know. I know I was like, what's going on? Like, it's just, like, it was disbelief from a lot of guys. Like, wow, like, I can't believe this is happening right now in Charlottesville. Like, this is our city.
Your locker room is made up of players and coaches of different races, different faiths, different socioeconomic backgrounds. How has being exposed to that diversity changed you or affected you, especially coming from a small town in Southwest Virginia?
Yeah. You know, as Michael Kaiser said, you know, we were in a class together this past year. You know, he said if the world was more like a football team, we would be better off. And just with all the diversity and everything that goes on within a football team and this kind of organization, and we have to put all of that aside to work for one common goal, and that's to win. That right there is just, it's a powerful thing because, you know, you feel accepted no matter who you are, what your position is, what your role is, how much you play, where you come from. Because you have people from all, just like you said, all different backgrounds, different places, different beliefs. So it's just having that kind of diversity within the team and being able to feel accepted no matter who you are or where you come from is huge.
You think the events of last weekend will have an effect, a unifying effect on the team going forward this year?
I do believe so, because I believe that a lot of people on the team feel like we're trying to serve a greater purpose now, trying to unite this city even closer together than we ever have been, kind of uphold the reputation of Charlottesville, not as a place of hate, but a place of love and unity. So,
you earned your bachelor's degree in media studies this year. What made you choose that major? And when you look back on your undergraduate studies, what sticks out to you about it?
I actually chose that major. I had no clue what I was going to do because I came in thinking I might want to do kinesiology, but I quickly changed my mind there. But I took a film class one summer, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, and it was media studies. I'm like, I think I'd like to try that because my sister always told me that I had the voice or whatever to be on TV or like the radio.
That's
or
what
whatever.
Dave Kane always says, that you can come on his show.
But so media studies, it seemed to fit me pretty well. But just looking back over my undergraduate career, just learning about, there were a few classes I had to take learning about different cultures around the world. Especially this last semester, international communications. That one really sticks out to me right now in this town that we're in, just learning about different cultures and like what goes on around the world and some of the different issues that we're facing as a people. So it's just being able to learn about those kind of different differences between people that can also draw us closer together.
You're pursuing a master's degree in higher education in the Curry School now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't your mom in education?
She is. She's an eighth grade physical science teacher at Fort Chisel Middle School. I had her in class when I was in eighth grade.
So when the day comes that you have to hang up your football cleats, do you know what you want to do at that point?
I do not know exactly what I want to do. I actually would like to pursue an acting career if I can get my foot in the door there.
Are you taking any drama classes here?
I've taken a couple drama classes, but no acting classes. I've been in plays back in high school and everything. I was in a short film for Claudrina Herald called Fastest Man in the State. It was like a documentary type thing. But other than that, pretty small amount of experience.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about football now. From a team perspective, how does this training camp differ from last year's, which was obviously Bronco Mendenhall's first at UVA?
More football. Mm-hmm. Those are the first words that come to my mind. I feel like last year it was just a lot of running, a lot of just trying to get the basics down of like what he wants this team to be, like the foundation of it, how we work, why we work, just kind of laying that foundation, finding out who's willing to do what he wants us to do and who's not. This year is like, okay, who are the guys that are going to give it all on the field, and how well can we play football together? And that's just been the main focus coming through this camp, just being able to play football, play every rep like it counts, because it does. We score every practice, and we compete against each other to make each other better.
You guys have been grinding all summer, first in Coach Wintrick's strength and conditioning program and now in training camp. You show up at the McHugh Center this morning. You're ready for another practice. Yeah. It's Thursday, so it's going to be a long, full pads, tackle to the ground practice. What do you find out from Coach Mendenhall?
Man, for the veteran guys, like the guys that were here last year, when he said that we were going to do something harder than we'd ever done, everybody just was like, okay, what's going to happen? Like, we're actually going to die, because we've done some hard things with Coach Mendenhall, like from the time that the Marines were here, or like some of the scrimmages that we've had, like everything, like it's just been some hard things. But then when he said we were going to go past Scott Stadium and down to the James River, everybody got really excited and started yelling. And then like a couple guys were still skeptical, like, okay, is he going to change his mind? Are we going to go do a workout on the river? Or like it was kind of hard to just like trust that we were just going to go have some fun. But it was a really, really good time.
So you went to the James River, I think down near Scottsville, and spent most of the afternoon or most of the day floating around.
Yeah, it was about a four-mile stretch of the river that we floated down. It took about 4 hours. But we had some sandwiches out there, water, Gatorade, and our teammates.
Nice break from training camp,
Yeah, definitely.
I wrote a story last week about Joe Spaziani and one this week about Brenton Nelson, both of whom came here as walk-ons and were put on scholarship by Coach Mendenhall. Mm-hmm. You are a former walk-on yourself, and you received a scholarship from Coach London. Given that, do you take special pleasure when you see that happen to other guys. I know I was talking to Shane Hunter, the inside linebackers coach, and he came to BYU as a walk-on and was put on scholarship by Coach Mendenhall. And he said because of that, he loves to see it happen to other guys.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, when Braden Urie got put on scholarship as well, and every time I'm in a meeting, then I hear Coach Mendenhall call someone up to the front, I'm like, oh, it's about to happen. Like, he's about to put him on scholarship. Same thing with Ben Hogg last year. And it's just, I get really excited for those guys because they work extremely hard, and they definitely earn. They earn that to be put on scholarship. All four of those guys, you know, I can't say enough about their character, their work ethic. But I get really excited for them to have that opportunity because I know how excited I was when I found out I was going to be on scholarship.
I still remember the breakout game you had against VMI at Scott Stadium. It seems to me now like it was 100 years ago. Yeah. It was not that long ago. Does it feel like you've been playing football at UVA for a long time? And it's only your fifth year, which is not exceptionally long.
Yeah, it feels like I've been here for a while. Because if thinking about it, there are only maybe eight or nine guys that I came in with that are still here. And I've just seen a lot of talent come in, a lot of talent go out. Been here through three running back coaches, two head coaches, seen a lot of coaches come in and out of this program. But, you know, I wouldn't trade any of it for the world. I've enjoyed every minute of this experience.
In the running backs room, there are several new faces this year, including Chris Sharp, who is a redshirt sophomore, and three true freshmen, Jamari Peacock, Lamont Adkins, and P.K. Kyer. What do you think of the new guys in particular?
They work hard, and they're extremely talented. Jamari has a big body. He's putting that to use very well. He's making some huge blocks. You know, he's making people feel his presence. As for the other guys, you know, PK, he shares a little bit of both aspects between speed and size, so he's going to be able to do a little bit of everything. But he's the newest addition to the room because Sharp, Jamari, and Atkins have all been here throughout the spring. But, you know, he just has a lot to learn. But then Jamari and Lamont, they show just as much talent, and Sharp coming out of a knee injury. But you know, he's been doing very well. You know, you see his explosiveness on the field. All of them, I'm really proud of the way they work and the addition to the room.
Your position coach, Mark Atuaya, told me the other day that you and Jordan Ellis are the two backs at this point that he has the most trust in, which stands to reason because you guys have been in the program the longest. Most of the carries last year went to Taquan Mizell and Albert Reed, who were both seniors. Have you been kind of pointing to this year when you look at the depth chart and realize that, you know, those guys would be gone and there would be an opportunity this year?
I knew I would have this opportunity. I knew Coach would be leaning on Jordan and I pretty heavily because of our experience that we've had throughout games, and we've been with him for a year and a half now. So I knew that this opportunity was going to be present itself, and Jordan and I just have to do everything to capitalize on it and provide – whatever this team needs out of us to help this team win.
Even though you didn't get a lot of carries last year, you carved out an important role for yourself on special teams as a punt returner. How did that come about? Had you always done that in practice, or did you go to the coaches, or did they come to you?
Sometimes I did it in practice. I would be back and catch punts or whatever. I did it in high school, so talking with them with that and showing that I could catch a ball in practice, you know, I just began to build trust with them. And then before you knew it, I was a starting punt returner, and I just continued to build that trust and, like, work harder and prove myself on the field. So it was kind of like can't really say one moment that it came to be, but it was like a progression. So.
You finished the year with 216 yards in punt returns, which was the most by a UVA player in nearly a decade. Punt returning seems to require a level of fearlessness that a lot of players don't have and maybe don't want to have to show during a game. What's it like standing back there, you know, waiting for a punt to come down? You see players racing down the field. They want to take your head off. If you're on the road, the crowd is yelling. Do you try to block all that out and just focus on catching the ball first and foremost?
I would say rather than block it out, you just have to embrace it. It's electric being back there. You have to realize that you're going to have people yelling at you, trying to get you to drop the ball. People are going to try to run down and take your head off, just like you said. But, you know, when you embrace that and just kind of know that it's going to happen, you kind of quit thinking about it. And you just kind of expect it. And then once you catch the ball and you trust that your teammates are going to make their blocks and you trust that the referees are going to keep you safe. And, you know, just it requires a lot of trust. So you just kind of go with the flow and then fearlessness after that. And then do what you can after you catch the ball.
Punt returns are not really something you can practice live in practice or all the time for obvious reasons. Did you feel yourself getting more comfortable with it and better at it as the season went on, as you had more reps? Because I'm sure there's nothing in practice that really replicates that feeling.
Yeah, there really isn't. You just catching the ball, being able to judge the ball, that's about all you can do in practice, just to give yourself the best chance to catch the ball. But, you know, when you're on the field and people are running at you, it's a feeling unlike any other. And just I did get more comfortable as the season went on. Like when I first caught punts in the Richmond game, I would fair catch. I'm like, oh, how close are they? And then I would just catch. I'm like, oh, I could have returned that. So, like, throughout the first few games, and I realized, like, oh, okay, I can do this. It's not that bad. I got more comfortable and trust my teammates even more, and they would work harder for me as I would work harder for them. So, you know, it was just it was a growing process. So I'm really excited for it this year.
So you also had made four tackles on special teams last year. Did you play defense in high school? I'm guessing you did.
I did.
And do you enjoy that part of it? Was that on punt?
It was on
kickoff. Punt or kickoff?
Kickoff. I was on punt, but I made the tackles on kickoff, I think.
You still on kickoff this year?
It's still shifting around on the depth charts. But
you like that part of it?
Yeah. Yeah, I like being able to go down and hit some people instead of being the one trying not to get hit all the time. So, like, it's different. And it's got the same electric feeling because on kickoff it's right after we score. So everybody's hyped right after we score. You know, it was a lot of fun.
The offense struggled for a lot of last year. The coaches have talked about that. You know, one theme that's been voiced by players, coaches, everyone this year is how much different Kurt Benkert looks. You know, not only physically, he's dropped a bunch of weight, but he looks more comfortable with the offense and he's moving better. I mean, have you as a player seen that from him?
Yeah, definitely. He's a lot more confident in the pocket and with his throws and with his own ability. He feels great, and when you feel great, you play great. So I think that's a great job by him doing whatever he had to do in the offseason to get his body to the point where he felt comfortable, and he did a great job with that. And to be able to provide this team with the leadership and the play that they need.
Do you see a greater comfort level across the offense? I mean, this is the second year with Coach Anai and his playbook and his system.
Yeah. There's a lot more chemistry. We're working better together, and with the efficiency, the efficiency style of scoring that we've put in, that really helped us elevate our play as well, because we fight every play for points, and it really helped us elevate to the level that we needed to be on to compete in the ACC.
You came here hoping or expecting to compete in two sports. After your redshirt freshman season in football, you joined the track and field team here and competed in the indoor and finished at the ACC indoor meet. You had to eventually kind of give that up and focus on football, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's realistically, it's hard to do both, isn't it?
It is, especially with Coach Mendenhall's program, because it's nothing close to easy. So I decided not to compete my third year. Or no, coming into my fourth year because of the new coaching change. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I would need to provide all of my attention there to show them that I was 100% in. And this year, with everything going on, like the type of training that we would be doing, right, they were going to be putting a lot of stress on our bodies. And being my last year, they didn't want to risk any like soft tissue injuries due to the load that I put on my body. So they advised me to stay away from track this year and then go back if I can in the spring.
So you may try to go back for indoor and outdoor?
Maybe.
It'd be a nice way to end your
definitely
college career. Well, anyway, I know you got meetings later on. I appreciate you making the time on what became a day off for you. Best of luck this season. We'll see you out there.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
For UVA, the 2017-18 athletic year officially begins Friday night when the women's soccer team plays at UNC Wilmington. Football opens its season September 2nd against William & Mary at Scott Stadium. For schedules and information on all our teams, check virginiasports.com. As always, thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week with another podcast.